Welcome to the Hacktivist Podcast, conversations that matter.
Great. So last month was Pride, and I've had a lot on my mind that I wanted to talk to you about. And by the way, welcome to another episode of the Hacktivist Podcast. My name is Michael, and I have with me Malik.
Hi.
Good. I wanted to ask to talk about Pride Month. For those of you who are not aware, it's the whole month of, what is it, June, is Pride Month, celebrating, you know, all that is queer and glamorous. And also, you know, seriously, apart from all the parades and the glamour and everything, It's about introspection and how far we've come in the struggle, and at the same time, you know, all the victories that have been chalked for LGBTQIA plus people. And I was trying to find out, right? Ghana, we didn't really celebrate Pride, you know. The community did, you know, do a few things. I saw, the most intriguing thing I saw was a photograph by, I think, a friend of mine, Edem, with the Ghana flag and the Pride flag on the beach. It was so dope. And I was amazing. It sounds amazing. And you know, she's a videographer, and like, it was so nice. Like, it's just a simple short video, but then I was so moved by it. And but then, you know, as usual, looking at that Pride in Brazil and in the US, various states, looking at how beautiful the parades were, and you know, of course, there was also obvious the capitalist interests who are now trying to push the struggle for their capitalist interest. Of course, they were all there. But then, what I wanted to find out was, if Pride was to be done in Ghana now, how do you think it would be like? What would you envisage the whole thing to look like?
I think that, like we were saying earlier, like, being queer, right, is still very dependent on the culture that you find yourself in. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, the environment that you find yourself in. So, even with, like, American history, right, there was a point in time where being queer was not accepted. Mm-hmm. And, but that isn't to say that, like, it stopped them from having their own pride, mm-hmm. you know? Because, like, they would have balls and, like, people would walk and, like, it was just essentially about creating space mm-hmm. for yourself to be yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking that if Pride is to happen in Ghana or, like, in any African country, it doesn't necessarily need to be, like, what we see in, you know, maybe in the US or in mm-hmm. the UK or those bigger countries, but it can just be about us creating a space that allows us to be who we want to be, mm-hmm. and that can be our pride. Like, it kind of goes hand in hand with the idea that people have of, like, one fixed definition for someone who's queer.
Yeah,
you know, and so, like, it just limits the possibilities that one can have. You don't necessarily need to have a huge parade with, like, hundreds of people coming to call it pride. Mm-hmm. Pride is the feeling, the bonding that happens through that experience. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, one specific way.
That's true. And again, looking at how it is done outside, I mean, I'll still say, like, seriously, we need a parade. Like, I love parades. I enjoy parades. If the minimum is at least a parade, we never know, maybe instead of short shots, we could be doing like kente stuff, like, you know, tapping into our own traditions. Because like, if you look at the Brazilian pride, right? Brazilian parades are already crazy. It doesn't have to be even a pride parade.
Right.
They're already wild, flamboyant, colorful. they already, you know,
so extra.
Extra. So when I see a pride, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's Brazil. So
of course,
it's gonna be lit. Or like I see already, Jamaican pride. Is it? Yeah, it was Jamaican Pride.
It was Jamaican Pride?
It was Caribbean Pride. No, it was in US. The Caribbean congregation, Caribbean LGBTQI community, or something like that. And it was so lit. I'm like, this is lit! Like,
oh shit.
Getting inspirations for what I'll look good in.
Right?
It was so lit. So I look at all of that and I'm like, okay, what will look good? Like, Ghana, what do we have? Like, okay, well, are we going to just be like the dashiki wearing pride? Like, what are we going, what is uniquely us that we can showcase? Like, what do you think it will be? Because I've imagined kente shorts. I've imagined things with kente, I've imagined things with batakari. So just wearing batakari with no trousers, just a half piece.
So kind of like a dress situation.
Kind of like a dress situation there. Get your Fulani boots. Ooh, rocking on.
The streets are not ready.
Man. I don't know where my brain goes to, like, but I've really imagined a lot. I think I have too much time on my hands.
No, but that's pretty amazing though. But I think personally, I think like what would make pride really beautiful would be just like to showcase our diversity,
mm-hmm.
even within the queer community, because just as Africans, you know, there's like so many tribes, so mm-hmm. many, even within those tribes, like sub-tribes of like how people dress, act, talk, and mm-hmm. different cultures. And so I think that like having that reflect in pride would be really cool.
Yeah.
So maybe like the people from the north could have, you know, like a specific cloth that's, you know, known mm-hmm. to them, and they could play around with that and just be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, like, what I love about pride is, it's, I know this is a stereotype about the gay community, but there's so many beautiful arts. There's so many beautiful, like, the creativity level there is, like, I'm like, it's so free. Like, you see the most beautiful thing that I see are, like, not just the dresses or the flamboyant headgears. No, it's the simple things, you know, like a hairstyle. I'm like, wow, this is, and we are just seeing this only because it's Pride Month. Like, why can't this be like the whole year, everywhere? Just add some color to this gray, black and white world that we find ourselves in. Why can't that level of freeing? Why is that level of freedom confined to just 1 month? To me, it's just, I don't know.
I think that's a really beautiful question, because it kind of forces us to like really take a look at the kind of societies that we live in. You know, mm-hmm. like even the so-called progressive societies with all their laws and anti-discrimination acts and all of those things, they still have like a long way to go for people to be who they want to be.
Yeah.
You know, because like, just like you said, the real beauty of the community is only seen within 1 month.
Yeah.
So it's like the rest of the world is like, okay, so we know you're gay and everything, cool, but like, could you not be gay for all of these months except for this month?
Yes.
Like, that's how I see it in my head, yes. You know? And that's just like, it's very limiting because the queer community, we have like so much to offer.
Yeah.
Not just, it needn't like necessarily be arts. Just like, it's providing a different voice, a different perspective to like the conversation. And that always makes it more interesting.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something that should be thought about.
We have a local saying, and I'm Dodon Senkwan, it's an Akan phrase, which says that different types of meat in one soup doesn't spoil the soup. Mm-hmm. Like, it just makes the soup better. So that just made me hungry.
Right?
And now I want some soup.
Oh, geez. I'm looking out for food, you know.
I know, right? Anyway, so yeah, it's just that our traditions, our culture, and I can speak from the Akan and the Ga traditions because those were the traditions in which I was raised. Mm-hmm. Worships diversity, thinks that diversity is a good thing. You know, whenever we have fought other tribes, it was because we felt that they needed to be just like us, or we needed their land, right? But within ourselves, whenever we recognized ourselves as one people, we did not see difference. So in the Akan family system, for instance, right? Your mother's sister is your mother.
Oh, okay.
And depending on whether they are older or younger, they are your older mother or they are your younger mother.
Interesting.
You know, like we try to raise divisions in the family line, you know. And that is not to say our relationship with the queer community historically has been good. It was more like, we don't care. You know, it was more like, yeah. Well, there are people like that, yes. But this is just, by the way, is speaking to the Free Thought Festival thing that we wanted to, trying to have a Free Thought Festival on Legon campus. One of the things that we wanted to discuss was how the Victorian era, you know, affects our understanding of gender and sexuality as a continent. Because the Victorian era affected how the British understood gender and sexuality. It was at that point, before there's pre-Victorian and post-Victorian. It was there during that era that all this morality and putting sex on a pedestal and gender being viewed in a binary strict.
Right.
It was all from that era. Because remember, the Greeks were freaks.
What?
The Greeks were freaks.
Oh my God.
One of my favorite quotes was is from a Greek novel I read as a child. This is how naughty I was. where it was like, this was a man speaking. It was like, you love, you marry a woman to have your children, but you love a man.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, wow. I forgot the book, but those were my early introductions to the world of the Greeks. Those guys were freaks.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah. Those guys were like, if there was any time I would have wished to have been born, it would have been in
that period of time.
That period. But I would have wanted to be rich. Like,
oh, no, of course.
Yeah. Anyway, so more on Pride, more on the queer experience. What did you do this Pride Month? Did you do anything to anything different?
I think that It was more about, well, for me personally, it was more about creating internal space for myself to kind of acknowledge just how broad and diverse my identity is, you know? Because, like, I'm always being told to restrict it to one thing, whether it's my nationality, whether it's my sexual orientation, whether it's, you know, just, like we said, these divisions that we create.
Mm-hmm.
And for, like, Pride Month, I was like, you know, fuck it. I want to be, you know? And so I was working internally to think of ways to not depend so heavily on, like, labels and these boxes that, you know, we've been told exist and that we need to fit into. It's obviously not easy because it's like, you know, you've been conditioned mm-hmm. to think this way. So any shift away from this kind of thinking is a bit uncomfortable, but I think that it's still worthwhile. I feel like it's something that everyone should try and do. Mm-hmm. Just like to take yourself out of your shoes and just, like, you know, be a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Try and have, like, the full human experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not with, like, filters and everything. And I've also, like, been thinking about art.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, writing more. Really creating space for me, which then helps me create space for other people, because I'm in that better space to take care of myself.
Mm.
Sorry. And yeah, so just like...
So this month has mostly been just self-care.
Yeah, essentially. But self-care that could have a snowballing effect of helping somebody else.
Okay.
Through self-care.
Okay. It's a good thing, especially as, you know, creatives, activists, people who, you know, put their hearts on the table every single day. It's the only way you can really ground yourself is to always look within yourselves.
Exactly.
And then, you know, so drop the anchor deep down within yourself so that you yourself are stable.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not easy, I find, going to bat for, in quotes, losing team. Because technically, if we were winning, if we were actually the majority, we wouldn't have to be doing this.
At all.
It would be just, okay, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I find that sometimes, and I know you may have gone through this, sometimes you get fatigued from caring too much or from, what do you call it? From trying to keep up with all the negativity that...
And expectations
exactly,
and all of those.
Exactly. So you when you get fatigued, right, what do you do? Do you go for walks? Do you meditate?
Okay.
do you take the green tea and go to bed?
Oh no. Oh gosh. What do I do? Probably the first thing I do is just, like, cuddle myself and, like, listen to sad music.
Mm-hmm.
Which you would think is, like, very counterproductive because I'm trying to move out of this space into, like, brighter spaces. Mm-hmm. But
it works.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. it's just like my first instinct, you know? And then after that, I'm like, okay, this is how I'm feeling. And sometimes I think I'm crazy, you know, because, mm-hmm. like, I literally have conversations with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, Malik, what's the tea? Why are you feeling this way?
Mm-hmm.
And the key to this, this technique is that, like, you have to be 100% honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so that you can figure out exactly what it is that is bothering you. And from there, you can figure out how best mm-hmm. to solve that problem or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, sad music and cuddle time, followed by questioning, you know, like introspection. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I skip the introspection and just like go out flat to writing, mm-hmm. you know, like writing how I feel. And because I've just, words are comfortable mm-hmm. to me. So like it's the easiest way that I have to express myself sometimes. Mm. So when I can't seem to get the questions flowing and just like getting the answers that I want, I just write how I feel and then like later interpret it to see mm-hmm. what it is that's actually bothering me. And from there, I usually either do yoga. Mm-hmm. I try to do yoga every day. I've been failing, but you know, it's in the works. Either yoga, meditation, or you know, the green tea. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink. And yeah, if I don't do those, like I'm probably in the botanical garden, mm-hmm. just like surrounding myself,
communing with the
It just it does a lot for like grounding me and just like helping me find my peace.
Yeah,
like people really underestimate like how powerful nature can be.
Yeah,
as just like a calming agent for like your tough times. So whenever like I'm feeling that blues, I either go to the beach or the botanical garden if everything else fails.
I find sleep also helps.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not for beauty only, you know. Like sometimes I just shut everything down and just take a very long nap.
Yeah, that also works as well.
Just take a very long nap. It helps. As you said, it helps if you are true to yourself. If you don't keep lying to yourself. If there is a problem, you have to first admit it. So I've been talking to Malik about pride, and we talked about activism fatigue, and we are going to move on right after this.
More on the Hacktivist podcast.
And now, some voices on today's topic.
Okay, so my name is Michael, and speaking from Accra. And my views on how Pride Month will look like in Ghana. Well, if we look at the current Ghana, as in the Ghana that we know, then I think that we're going to have very brave people indeed to come out in the streets. I know that from my interaction with the LGBT community in Ghana, I know these are people who are committed to the whole thing, and I think they're going to come out with the rainbow flags and the placards and everything. But I think that since they know about the community they're in, I don't think it's going to be too flamboyant like we see elsewhere. I think it's going to be restrained, but the key things are they're going to speak their truth. The message is going to be there, and I think that it's going to be a lot of coverage. I think there's going to be a lot of coverage by the media, and just as we've heard, I think the media is going to color it in a way which is going to be biased, and they're going to pick out maybe one or two elements which are not like which sort of turns the narrative against the positive messages that the LGBT community will be pushing. They'll pick on that, maybe someone who is maybe too sexual or some a sort of violent pocket of violence somewhere. They'll pick on it and then they'll use it to make their case the next morning. And I think there's a distinct chance that there might be violence, especially from the more those with the sacred texts. I think they'll start thinking or they'll start saying that Ghana is for God, so they won't allow such a thing to happen, and then they also stage their counter protest. But even whether the pride will even go through the bureaucracy, I think the police will make a case that they're trying to protect the people, so because of their own protection, don't allow it to come on. So I think first of all, I'm being pessimistic, but the idea that to be accepted by the police bureaucracy is a hard one for me to swallow. But if it does go through, that is what I think is going to happen. What do I do to overcome activism-related stress? Well, First of all, whether I do have activism related stress, but I understand the question. I think that for the most part, the people, our compatriots, the comrades in the activism journey are the more thrilling parts of the journey. Me being a member, a member of Humanist Association of Ghana and other offshoots, I realize how much the people themselves are the jewels, are the crown jewels of this whole journey. And having a community of people you can rely on to joke with, who get you, who you feel accepted by, and you know, you can plan so much fun activities. And also, I also like to read the success stories and meet people for whom our impact is sort of evident in. You know, sometimes you have this chat and it's like, we chat to some people and the person will be like, oh, remember that conversation we had the last time? Well, I went back to think about it and I think it has some merit. And then you feel all warm and rosy inside and you feel like, yes. Even though it might be a difficult journey or an uphill task, we can see that we're making impact one at a time, and I think that can be a very distressing thing.
Welcome back to the Hacktivist Podcast.
And we are back. So Malik, we were talking about Pride Month and know, some self-care. And I was reading some chatter online about how bisexuals, right, do not get as much love as they should in the community. And I was wondering whether you've experienced any of such, you know, squabbles in the community.
Absolutely. I think that being in the queer community, sometimes we like to pretend like we're united, you know, like the movement is a joint thing, and like, you know, we're all trying to get to the same point at the same time together. But the reality is that it's not always like that, you know, like even just the gay community alone. You've got so many divisions, you know. You've got people who don't like effeminate people. You've got people who don't like anybody else who isn't, like, let's say, muscular or something. And there's a difference between, like, having preferences, you know, mm-hmm. or points of attraction, and just outright disliking, mm-hmm. you know. So if you're attracted to, let's say, buff guys or, you know, effeminate guys or whatever it is, mm-hmm. that's fine. That, like, nobody's saying that you have a problem because you like certain kind of people. But the problem is when you start, you know, you start judging human beings to be lesser than you because of something that they have or don't have. So this goes out to people who, you know, say they don't like effeminate guys because and I've heard the term a lot that, you know, even though they're gay, they're still men, mm-hmm. and so they should behave like men, mm-hmm. which you know, just opens up a closet of just a whole lot of gender structures, and mm-hmm. it's very uncomfortable. Because interestingly, I think that, well, I mean, it's kind of obvious, but gay people probably struggle, when I say gay, I mean LGBTQ, mm-hmm. they probably struggle most with, like, identifying gender, mm-hmm. you know, as like, just the idea. Because you've got so many different ways of being who you are, you know, mm-hmm. but it may not necessarily conform to that, to yeah, no, gender. Yeah. Expectations and roles and all of that, and it causes, like, a friction mm-hmm. between your personal reality, mm-hmm. which is, like, you know, your sexual orientation and whatever, and, you know, your societal reality, which has to do with expectations, you know, given to you by society. And because there is that friction, they need to find a way to release that tension. Mm-hmm. So whether it's by, directing their negativity towards effeminate guys, or just people in the community they feel that they're better than, or, you know, by denying their sexuality entirely and just saying that, you know, they're just having fun or just curious or something, which sometimes is the case, but, you know, how long are you going to be curious?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, those are just my two cents on it, to be honest.
Mm. And you feel like the community doesn't want to talk about this more, or they do talk about it, but then, you know, from the way I understand it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to always remember the human element, because the same BS happens with cisheads, cisgendered men in heterosexual relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Or I hear my friends talk about, oh, they have this preference. Me, I don't like fat girls. When they see fat girls, the way they snicker at them, like, oh, me, I don't like fat. I'm like, okay, fair enough. Look, this is not your preference. But that has nothing to do with, you know,
The person.
And you shouldn't look down on the person, because the person is not what you prefer either.
Exactly.
In there are some things that people have no control over: the color of their skin, their sexuality, their gender, sometimes their size. So why hold it against somebody? Like, it doesn't really make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's probably just, you know, a programming problem with human beings. Like, we are so territorial, we are so tribal, and sometimes our stubbornness in our tribalism serves us well. Sometimes, but most times it doesn't serve us well. And we've carried that genetic baggage up to the, you know, this modern time. You know, if in the past the way we recognize certain patterns was helping us, it doesn't necessarily translate into these modern societies. You know? So you still have men who say, oh, because I do not find this person sexually attractive, there is nothing that person can do for me. Because in the past, when we had societies where we're just, look at, we're animals back then. What did I want from the a female animal? That's all. Sex. Just sex.
Yeah.
You get it. There was nothing else that person can offer me. We are social animals. We've evolved to this point where we've been able to create complex societies.
Mm-hmm.
We should have outgrown our biological urges and our biological stupidity, but it seems that people are more Neanderthal than Homo sapien. And so you find them, you know, it's harder for them to get rid of that kind of baggage where, oh, because I cannot have sex with this thing, then it's worth less than me, so I don't care about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you agree that that's exactly how they are thinking, how those people who discriminate, even in the queer community,
yeah,
among themselves, are thinking, oh, because I cannot have sex, or I do not want to have sex with. And it's the same way they feel about bisexuals. They're like, okay, no, I can have sex with you. Hey, he also can have sex with you. No, I don't like that. It's about control. It's about, you know, trying to grasp a little bit of, you know, control over things around you.
And it's interesting that you mentioned control, because I think that annoyingly, power also comes into play with that, you know, because being part of the LGBTQ community already kind of robs you of a certain amount of power.
Mm-hmm.
In most societies, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a reality that we don't want to face.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when we are within our group, you know, everybody is trying to figure out like how to get the most power, how to assure their dominance, because they're being reduced from outside. So it's kind of like, I don't want to say like a survival mechanism, mm-hmm. but it kind of is. Mm-hmm. Because like we're being attacked outside, mm-hmm. we want that support and validation from inside to mm-hmm. kind of balance us
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
And, but what that does is that like it's telling other people that
you're vulnerable.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and that's a problem. It's because we have, what's it called? Because we've been robbed of our power, our mm-hmm. presence, our validation mm-hmm. by mm-hmm. society, we feel the need sometimes to take that from others yeah. within our own society.
Yeah. And it's the annoying thing is this. There's parallels like this in every minority mm-hmm. in the world. So you take let's take a Muslim minority, right? In any country, right? They are being oppressed by a majority. Mm-hmm. Say a Caucasian minority would not like Islam. Mm-hmm. What happens is that the entire Muslim community is being oppressed, but the men in that community will grasp any power so that they don't feel like they are being oppressed. They will oppress the women. Same in a minority black community. You find that in a minority black community, those who can find a bit of power will go for it and oppress
those who can't.
What is annoying about this is that if they just band together, all the people who are being oppressed, be them, be it by their gender, be it by their race, sexuality, whatever be the case, if they all band together and say, hey, you know what we all have in common? We are all being oppressed. We would be able to come out of a lot of these, you know, oppressive regimes and oppressive situations.
Yeah, but this is where I call the human factor out. Mm-hmm. Humans, just like, I think biologically, we are selfish, you know. Mm-hmm. We usually put our personal interests before others, you know. Usually that's how it works. But... I lost my train of thought.
Must be the green tea.
It really is. Oh, shoot. You know, I'll get back to you.
Okay. We have been talking for over half an hour, and we'll be ending this episode very soon. I'll come back to you for your final thoughts on your vision for Pride Month, because I'm very much interested in how we're going to have our first Pride maybe next year, because it's about time we push for minority voices to be heard. And I don't know whether there are other minority groups. I'm sure the gender advocates will join the fight.
Definitely.
And then we'll see which other minority groups in Ghana will stand up and say, you know what, if one of us is oppressed, all of us is oppressed, you know, the persons with disability society, I'm sure they would also like to join, because you know our freedoms are all bound together.
Absolutely.
You know, our freedoms are all bound. We are a minority if we separate ourselves, but if we combine all the minorities, come on, 52% of the population are women. If they all decide, you know what, we don't want to be we don't want to be abused anymore, we are coming out as a collective.
Yep.
If we left the election to just women,
they could like literally run the country.
They could literally run the country. Literally. So it's about time we all in the different minority groups just, you know, find our way to each other and then have a pride. Yeah. All I want is a pride. I mean, I'm doing this for selfish reasons. I'm saying all of this for absolutely selfish reasons. All I want is a parade. All I want is to be in a parade. And, you know, in my 6-inch stilettos. You have been listening to the Hacktivist podcast. So Malik, your final thoughts on...
On Pride Month.
On Pride Month, yes.
One would be to love yourself and take care of yourself, because by loving and taking care of yourself, you help broaden the space for other queer people to be themselves. Two, what would be number two?
You said number two.
Oh gosh, no. Two would be to create a space for yourself, you know, whether it's through arts, whether it's through living your authentic truth, whichever way that you want to do it, just create the space for yourself. And this should reflect in a better person or a better human or however. And three, I can't think of number three.
I saw that coming. All right. Thank you for listening. This has been The Hacktivist.
This has been The Hacktivist Podcast.
As always, think for yourself and care for others.
You can find the Hacktivist Podcast on SoundCloud. Follow us on Facebook at Hacktivist. The Hacktivist Podcast is brought to you by the Humanist Association of Ghana. Find out more on www.ghanahumanists.org.